Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, first I'd like to share a word about some of the challenges and frustrations, and I guess opportunities, in preaching a text like this, a text I've never preached before, Isaiah 65, 1 through 9. And I guess there's my first frustration. It's 1 through 9. It really should be 1 through 12, or if you read with Dr. Reed Lessing, 1 through 16. If you look at the Masoretic text, the Hebrew text, there's a paragraph break at the end of verse 7. So the first thought is 1 through 7, which is this word of judgment and wrath that Yahweh is about to put upon his people Israel. And I don't know if you noticed the very good rhetorical break that Dr. Burson gave while reading that text. There was a pause between 7 and 8, because suddenly in verse 8 it switches, and God suddenly starts talking about his servants, this remnant, who are his motivation for not destroying all of Israel. But you really have to go to verse 12, where you get like maybe the final judgment, where the servants of Yahweh inherit the land, and all of those people who weren't seeking him all get killed by the sword. And it kind of wraps everything up nice and tidy, but we don't get there in today's reading. Oh, well. And then there's the fact that when I saw this assignment and I began to read 65 verse 1, I allowed myself to be sought by those who did not ask. I allowed myself to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here am I, to a nation not called by my name. And my first thought was, hey, he's talking about us. Gentile Christians, he's talking about me. This is Romans 10. Awesome. Then I hear the voice of Paul Robbie in the background, my Hebrew teacher from way back when, saying, well, no, it's first about them. And then I'm like, okay, that's right. This, I guess, is first about the people of Israel in the days of Isaiah. It's not about me. And then when I look at the commentaries, only Reed Lessing goes to Romans 10. Everybody else, no mention of Gentile inclusion. This is just all about Israel back in those days. And okay, so I keep reading, and then I get to the promises in verses 8 through 9. And I'm thinking, these have to be eschatological promises, right? This is about God's people not just inheriting those mountains, but inheriting the new heavens and the new earth on that last day. And a few commentators go there, but again, most of them say, no, this is just about the exiles returning from Babylonian captivity. It's like, okay, you know. So here's a text that's not about me, and it's not about you. And so, I mean, couldn't you assign me a New Testament text to preach on? But this is the text, and one thing I can say is there's a pattern here about the way the God of Israel works that continues to be a pattern about how the God of Israel works. And there's actually what I see here, very high courtroom drama. It's as if we're watching a movie about a trial, and the judge suddenly takes the time to look at the audience and sort of give us an aside, where he's explaining, this is why I'm about to render the verdict that I'm about to render. These are my people. I made a covenant with them, and they've broken that covenant, yet I have gone out of my way to make myself found, to make myself heard, to give them every opportunity to repent and turn back to me. All day long, my hands have been stretched out before them. I'm shouting, Hineni, Hineni, here am I, your God, look, come back. And they have continued on a way that is not good, following after their own thoughts, their own devices, not the way of God, but their own ways. At best, they're participating in synchronistic worship. At worst, it's just pure open idolatry, provoking Yahweh to his face. And the scholars debate, are they really eating pig's flesh and drinking the broth of unclean animals? Or is that a metaphor? Well, either way, they're unclean. And yet they've got the gall to look at other people and say, keep to yourself, don't touch me, I'm too holy for you. And for this, Yahweh says, you're like smoke in my nostrils and I'm burning all day. He is ticked off. And now he is about to render these people exactly what they deserve, and he's going to repay, Dr. Lessing says, he's going to give them their payment in their lap. He's just going to throw it right in their seat, and that's verse 7. Judgment is coming. That's the verdict. But then suddenly verse 8. And did you notice how Dr. Burson paused? Verse 8, suddenly But that's not the end of the verdict. The end of the verdict is I'm not going to destroy everybody. And the reason I'm not going to destroy everybody is for the sake of those people Yahweh calls my servants, my elect. Kind of interesting, in verse 9, he says, I am going to pull a seed, a zerah, out of Jacob, a possessor, not possessors, but a single possessor out of the house of Judah. And my thoughts immediately sort of said, is this maybe Jesus, the seed? Most of the commentators say no. John Oswalt says, yeah, probably is, but it's muted, so don't make a big deal about it. As if he's saying, yeah, Dave, you're on the right idea, but yeah, don't push it. Dr. Lessing actually says this, he goes further than I do. This seed is actually the offspring of the Messiah. It is those who believe in Jesus. He goes full eschatological. It's you that he's talking about in verse 9 as those who will ultimately inherit his mountain. But the point is Yahweh is going to judge, but not the whole, because he loves his servants. For their sake, for the sake of his elect, Israel is going to be preserved. And so you see this pattern. Yahweh making himself available to his people. His people rejecting him, and yet Yahweh still preserving out of that a remnant. His servants who do find him, who do hear his word, who do believe. And so, in the ministry of our Lord Jesus, he who was the eternal word of God, who was with God, who was God, nevertheless became flesh and dwelt among us. He could be heard, seen. John says we could touch him, our hands could lay hold of him. Yahweh certainly came in a way that he could be found when he sent his son into our flesh. And yet Jesus came to his own possessions, and his own people did not receive him, just like in Isaiah 65. But that's not the end of the story. Whoever did receive him, to those who believed on the basis of his name, God gave them authority to become the children of God, who are born not of the natural way, but born of God. God continues to preserve for himself a people, his servants, his elect. And for the sake of those people, Yahweh would even put off his final judgment. The parable of the wheat and the tares. Why doesn't he pull out those weeds? It's because of his regard for the wheat. There's the mystery. God doesn't judge the whole, at least not yet, because of his concern for his people, his servants, his elect. And then in time, lo and behold, literally a people who did not look for God were found by him when the gospel of Jesus Christ came to the Gentiles, and those who had no clue suddenly were God's people because of their faith in Jesus. And then in time, brothers and sisters, this gospel has also come to you. In time, God has made himself available that you would find him, you would hear him. He would put his name upon you when you were called and baptized. And now he would call you his servants, his elect, his people, even more, his children. And I can say that this pattern still continues today. It's because of his high regard for you, for his love for you. God has not yet destroyed the whole. Just like in the parable of the wheat and the weeds, because he loves the wheat, he will not send his servants out too early to pull those weeds. That day of judgment will come, but not yet. Because the God of Israel, who has called you, who has allowed himself to be found by you, loves you, his servants, his children. And so, we wait for that final day. And as we wait, realize who you are as the people of Jesus Christ and the great regard that the God of Israel has for you, a people who did not seek him, and nevertheless, mysteriously through the gospel of Jesus Christ, have been found by him and are now his people. That day will come when, yes, we will inherit his mountains. We will possess all with our Lord Jesus by his grace. But in the meantime, we are to simply know who we are and patiently wait for the day that our God chooses to act. And so in the meantime, I pray, May the Lord Jesus Christ preserve you in your faith and in this life, both now and unto life everlasting. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding fill your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.